The Pat Kenny Show
on News Talk with MasterCard.
Okay, so I'm not too sure how to start this, but I suppose it's probably best just to maybe introduce myself. So my name's Emma, I'm 30 years old, and I'm a teacher from Dublin. Basically, 3 weeks ago, my life changed as I knew it. I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I suppose I was always one of those people who thought, like, oh, it could never happen to me. But it has. So with the encouragement of my friends, I decided to start up this page just mainly to document my journey over the next year. And in the meantime as well, maybe raise some awareness. And also maybe it might help other people who might be in a similar circumstance to me and are starting their journey too. So let's see how it goes.
Let's see how it goes. Well, life changed very dramatically for my next guest. Emma, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You're 30 years old. Your name is Emma Cassidy, school teacher in Raheny.
In Raheny and Manor House School, yeah.
Manor House School. My school, O'Connell's, used to debate against Manor House many, many years ago. What do you teach?
I teach PE and science.
Yeah. Now, you got some very bad news just 8 weeks ago. I mean, it's only like the other day kind of thing.
Yeah, it's all happened very, very quickly. As I said on the Instagram page, I didn't really have any of the classic symptoms that you might associate with breast cancer. All I really felt was a general feeling of fatigue.
How long ago was that now?
That was about, I'm going to say, the end of April, start of May. I kind of started feeling quite tired. So I went to my GP and he said, you know, maybe we'll put you on a course of B12 injections just to kind of increase your energy and we'll see how you are. And then I went back for the last one. It hadn't really helped me at all. And he said, look, it's not really right that you're feeling like this. I would kind of want to maybe do some further tests on you, some blood tests. And the blood test came back normal. There was no issue there. And then I was referred to a clinic in Beaumont.
And what were you referred for?
Well, about 2 years ago, I had a skin cancer under my arm, which was quite unusual because it wasn't due to sun exposure. They still don't know why it happened. So I was under the care of the breast clinic at that time. So I suppose from that, I was in the system, you know, for that. And my GP said, you know, have you been examining your breasts? I suppose he was thinking, you know, all kind of same area, maybe, you know, might be something worth getting checked. And I said, well, I don't know if I've been doing it properly. And he said, look, I'm going to refer you back just to, you know, double check, because he wasn't sure what was wrong. So he said, we may as well tick all the boxes. And thank God he did.
Now, then the examination that you had, was it a mammogram or what was it?
Well, initially it was just, I was in a room with the doctor and he just did a physical exam. So he just, you know, checked me himself. And then that's really where the initial lump was discovered. So I had no idea. I was stunned when he said, oh yeah, we have a lump here. And, you know, I was kind of taken aback. And then immediately he said, you know, because of your age, I'm sure it's, you know, nothing. It might just be hardened tissue, you know, and we'll send you for an ultrasound now just to be sure. So that all happened that day. And while I was down there, you know, the radiographer said, we're going to send you for a mammogram now as well. Usually we wouldn't send you for one until you're over 35, but, you know, we're going to do one. And then it was a bit of a whirlwind after that. I had another mammogram, another ultrasound.
And all then on the same day?
All on the same day, and three biopsies as well. So
so
it was
you're
a
beginning
long day.
To wonder, are you, at this point?
I mean, yeah, I suppose you're sitting down and, you know, everyone's been, I mean, they're all lovely in there anyway, but everyone's been super nice to you and you're kind of a bit paranoid saying, are people being too nice? Is something
were you
wrong?
On your own? Did you have
no,
anyone
my mum
you?
was with me, but I suppose you still never think in your wildest dreams that the outcome is going to be a negative one, especially, you know, at 30 and, you know, it wouldn't be as common.
Yeah, and you're fit as a flea.
Well, try.
I mean, you're into sport.
Yeah,
big
I'm very
time,
into sport. Yeah, so I mean, no, it was definitely not the outcome that I was expecting.
So, how did they break the news to you that they had detected a cancer?
It was say 3 or 4 days after I had all of the, you know, the procedures done. I was getting ready for a friend's wedding, and I got a phone call from the hospital to say, "Oh, your results probably won't be ready for another week. So your appointment next week, you don't have to come to it." And I said, "Oh, that's great." You know, I thought, "Okay, that's fine." But then an hour later, I got another phone call to say, "Oh no, come in, you know, on Tuesday morning. Professor Hill really wants to meet you." Now, Professor Hill is head of the breast clinic in Beaumont. Yeah. So as soon as you kind of hear his name, you think alarm bells. You know, it's probably not great news, but. So then a week later, I went back and went in and with my mum again, and they He's a really, really lovely man. And Louise Costigan is the nurse that was assigned to me. She's a fabulous woman. And he had my scans on the screen and he just kind of pointed out the areas and said, look, this is the situation.
Now, what did he outline the options? I mean, there's everything radical mastectomy. Then mm-hmm. there could be chemo. There could be radiation. Yeah. There could be whatever.
Yeah.
What did he outline were your choices?
Well, initially, he was just pointing at the areas and he did say, you know, there was the main lump was cancerous. There was another area above that was kind of early stage cancer. And then there was a bit of cancer in one of the lymph nodes as well. So, I mean, at that stage, I was calm because I suppose I was just processing the information. I wanted to hear what he was telling me. But, I mean, I wasn't even upset at that stage. And then he said, oh, you'll meet the surgeon next week. And then he'll talk to you about reconstruction. Now, when I heard the word reconstruction, I broke down. I was in tears. I mean, it kind of hits home then how real it becomes.
So they weren't talking about a lumpectomy.
Immediately it was definite single mastectomy anyway. And I suppose I was a bit naive in thinking, oh, I'm sure they'll just remove it and that'll be it. You know, you don't have a normal thought process. You kind of just assume that, oh, like it'll be fine.
Now, you know? Was your mom with you that day too?
She was, yeah.
And what was her reaction?
Oh, well, I mean, initially, when they just said the cancer, she was okay. But then, you know, when I got upset, obviously she got upset. And then, you know, in the follow-up appointment I had with the surgeon when we had said we were going to have the double mastectomy because they found, like, precancerous cells in the left breast as well. So I kind of thought me personally, I couldn't have lived, you know, having
worry.
So my decision had been made. But I mean, my dad was with me that day too. So, I mean, you're sitting in a room with both your parents, you know, and they have to hear their daughter has to have a double mastectomy, chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and you can see their hearts breaking. I mean, it's not a nice experience.
Tears all around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that decision, I mean, you've been sharing your journey so far with everybody, but I mean, it must have been devastating at the beginning. How soon after that did you decide, I think people should know about this?
I suppose I was upset for the first day, kind of on and off, you know, random moments of tears and upset. Yeah. And, you know, the more kind of family members came, I suppose, when you see them get upset, it nearly makes you worse. It's very hard on them. But pretty quickly, actually, I mean, I'd spoken to my friends within a couple of days about the idea of it, and they are so encouraging. And they said, yeah, you should do it. I mean, I know the friends that are my age, we've never had an experience of somebody our age who has or had breast cancer. So it obviously is happening out there because, you know, I'm an example of that. So I thought, well, why not put it out there? It's a way for me to document what's happening. I can look back on it. You know, it's a way to raise awareness for younger women, you know, who might not be as careful with their checks and might not think it could happen to them. And also, I suppose, a way to connect with other people who are my age, which has actually happened. So
other people who are going through the same journey or have been through it are involved with you. I mean, looking at some of the posts, this has escalated quickly. I'm kind of in shock, to be honest. A lot of people might not be too comfortable talking about it, but it's one of the reasons that I made this page, so I may be completely honest about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you think it's therapeutic for yourself as well?
I think so. I mean, it's kind of going to give me some sort of focus. I mean, I'm not going to be out of work for most of the school year, so I mean, I'm kind of a person who needs to keep busy, and I suppose anything you can throw your energy to is going to be positive, you know.
Now, besides doing it on Instagram, I mean, you are going into school and your hair is pink.
My hair is, well, it wasn't pink in school. Summer holidays, so it's okay.
But the point is that you've decided to wear your heart on your head because you're wearing a pink top and your kind of blonde hair is tinted in pink. And there's a reason for that.
There is. I'm quite a pink person anyway, I suppose. A lot of people describe me as that. But I suppose pink, you know, the pink ribbon is the international symbol for breast cancer. So, and I thought, you know, my hair is basically going to be gone in about 2 weeks' time anyway. So I thought, why not just do it? Go a bit crazy. Sure, why not? You know.
So looking ahead to the timetable that you can see in front of you.
Yeah.
You've had the surgery.
I've had the surgery, four weeks ago.
you will have reconstruction later down the road. Is that the
idea? You can choose to have it all in one day, the mastectomy and the reconstruction. I just felt for me it was a better fit to wait. I'd rather just wait until I've had my treatment, my body is, you know, fully healed and I'm in the kind of best mind frame for that.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it might have been too much at once.
Now, your own self-image, you were worried, as you've chronicled in your Instagram, how will I think about myself if I have a double mastectomy?
Yeah.
Will I still be me?
Yeah.
I mean, you did remark that your breasts were kind of part of your signature.
Well, I suppose you could say that.
That's my way of putting it.
I suppose you could say that. You know, I'm a young and youngish, not that young, I suppose, youngish girl. And, you know, I'm as vain as the next person. You know, I suppose I would be known for enjoying getting my hair and makeup done. And, you know, I suppose the way everybody kind of takes care of their image, you know. But yeah, I was kind of more worried so about the psychological impact. You know, I am quite a bubbly person and I just was really praying that, you know, after the surgery that it wouldn't, that I was hoping that I wouldn't withdraw into myself and I would change. That was kind of the big
thing. And when you looked at yourself in the mirror, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I was in the hospital getting the dressings changed and they said to me, you know, you don't need to look down yet if you don't want to. And I said, oh no, sure, let me see. And, you know,
it is
what it is. It's not, I mean, it's not as bad as I was expecting.
Well, I can reassure you, the bubbles are still there. You're still as bubbly as you ever could have been.
Yeah, I suppose you kind of just put the vanity aside and you think, look, this happened. You know, it's all part of the healing process and anything that's going to make you better can only be positive, you know.
Everything about your journey, though, you're taking head on.
Yeah.
I mean, when the time comes to start the chemo and your hair starts to fall out, you're not going to wait.
No.
For the hair to fall out.
No. I suppose so much with cancer is out of your control. So any kind of control you can claim back is a small victory. So I suppose I definitely couldn't have waited for the chemotherapy. I couldn't wake up and have clumps of hair on my pillow. I just think that would be too upsetting. So the day before I start, I'm going to actually get my head shaved and I'm going to have my wig fitted. I mean, I bought the wig the day I knew I was going to lose my hair about a month ago. I just thought, do it before the surgery while you still feel like it. Just get everything. I suppose the teacher and me coming out, get very organised. But that's from the hair club in Donnybrook and they have been fantastic to me. So
you're all organised for that?
Yeah, right. Well, yeah. I'm getting my date today, my start date, but it should probably be the end of next week or the week after.
Now, you mentioned all the support that you've got from people around you,
yeah.
Your colleagues and friends, everybody.
Oh, it's just been absolutely overwhelming. I mean, work, for example, I mean, every single person in the school, the management, the staff, the students, it's been absolutely overwhelming. The support that they've given me, it makes it so much easier, you know, to get on with things, you know, knowing that you have that support behind you, you know, family, home friends, school friends, everyone has just been, people I don't know coming up to me. I mean, it's messages, you know, everything has been fantastic.
Now, all the things that you have to contend with when you have a diagnosis like this, I mean, there's your own fertility and how you're going to handle that going forward.
Yeah, I suppose it's something that a lot of people would take for granted. You just assume one day you might have, you know, if you're interested, that you might have kids and it'll just happen. But, you know, chemotherapy does have a big impact on your reproductive system. It can damage your eggs. So I'm going to, I said no to freezing eggs. It was an option that suited me. So I'm going to be getting an injection every month that will shut down my ovaries and hopefully protect my eggs. So the downside to the good thing is that, you know, hopefully then when the
business
treatment's
as
over,
usual.
Yeah, hopefully. And they have said to me because I'm younger that, you know, the chances of that happening are very high, you know, to go back to normal. But the downside is that I will be thrown into temporary menopause. So that itself will bring a delightful array of extra symptoms for me. But sure, we'll deal with it as it comes.
Yeah. Now, you're going to continue your Instagram journey with everyone, for good or for ill. I mean...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not... I mean, you know, it is a positive space and a positive forum, but I'm not delusional to think that everything is going to be a bed of roses for the whole time. I know it's going to be a tough road ahead. So, you know, I'm putting myself out there. So you show the good, bad and the indifferent, you know. It's all out there.
Now, the cancer itself, I mean, was there any history in the family, any reason why this might have affected you? And
no, absolutely not.
Literally, it's one of those out of the blue.
They actually said to me, you know, you're just unlucky. I mean, you always, you know, hear people say, oh, why me? But I suppose you have to look at it. Why not me? You know, it has to happen to somebody. And unfortunately, it has been me. But yeah, the type I actually have is called a triple negative, which is a bit more unusual. So, you know, of course, I'd have to be a unique case, as my mom said. It affects about 15% of breast cancers are this type. So it doesn't respond to hormonal treatment, but it does respond well to chemotherapy. So yeah, it's very unusual. I mean, I don't know why.
In your own words, you describe your Instagram account as documenting the ups and downs of a Britney-loving, penguin and dog-obsessed, chicken nugget connoisseur. Oh, yes. Kicking cancer's ass one day at a time. And it has been, sharing this has been a positive experience for
you. Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, as I said, the masters on, I never actually thought now I'd be on Pat Kenny's show hearing you say chicken nugget connoisseur, it's a bit surreal. yeah, it's been more than positive, and I've gotten masters from people to say, you know, they, as a result of this, have gone and got checked themselves. And I mean, if one person's even done that, it's a victory, you know.
Yeah. Well, speaking of messages, we've got more messages here on my text screen. Jerry in Monaghan says, will you wish that young woman all the best? She's so brave doing what she's doing, and she is going to save lives with her bravery. Marie in Galway says, having just been through the journey that Emma's embarking on, including a double mastectomy, I'd like to wish her all the best and remind her that she will get through it, and doing her blog is a super idea. Just wanted to say best of luck to Emma. I'm 27, had two precancerous lumps removed from my breast last year and 3 weeks of radiation. So important to raise awareness. I felt I couldn't talk about what was happening because I didn't want people at work to find out. But finding people my age on things like Instagram made it so much easier. You get sick of being the youngest person in the waiting room. Yeah, so I can see that point, yeah, that you feel, therefore it's so unfair because I'm so young and the others are maybe in their 40s or 50s.
Yeah.
And Mag says, I went through the same in 2007. The hardest thing was shaving my hair and waiting for it to grow back. Had reconstruction same day, and believe it or not, and despite all I was told, I had a baby in 2009.
Oh, that's amazing.
I had the same injection as Emma has been talking about. A tweet from the Marie Keating Foundation. If we can help support Emma in any way, please share our info. Oh. Another tweet. What a brave and wonderful woman. Best of luck on her journey. Absolute inspiration. Her pupils are very lucky to have such a teacher.
Oh, well, I'm lucky to have them as well. They've been fantastic to me.
I was just thinking myself, as a science teacher, I'd love to have had you teaching me science back in the day. Your enthusiasm would have been terrific. Emma is Brittany to the bone. This is from a friend of yours.
Oh.
If Brittany can rock the bald head, so will Emma. And she is as genuine in real life as she sounds to your listeners. So there you are. Emma, how do people get your blog on your Instagram account?
Well, so if you just search Casso's Nuggets of Wisdom.
Now, that's why I didn't want to say it. I wanted you to say it.
I know.
Casso's,
without
an apostrophe.
I can't believe I have to say this on the radio. I should have picked a better name.
Yeah. Well, there's no apostrophe in the Casso's, right?
No,
so it's Instagram at Casso's Nuggets of Wisdom.
Yes.
That will find you.
Yes.
And I'm sure you'll have lots of people searching that out today. Emma Cassidy, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank
and
you
I can
so
only
much.
Wish you the very, very best in your journey. And maybe you'll come back to us when it's all over.
And, I'd love to.
And talk about those ups and downs.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks a million, Emma.
Thanks.
Thank you.